When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself.
And there's some stories I can tell you. It's the Final Word Daily, coming to you live from the Capital Residency Ranchy. Some technical difficulties have meant that it's me and Vish this evening, rather than me and Adam. I'm quite relieved about it, to be honest. I'm feeling bereft. I'm feeling confused. We were 24 hours away from a historical test series, and instead we're staring down the barrel of what's going to look on the surface a routine India victory. To take it through all of it in 30 seconds, we've got Vish.
What do we treat it like a sandwich? So let's start with the bread. India were 140 behind when they arrived today. And they left day three 152 away from victory. Drew Jarrell batted like a dream for 90 to get them to within 40 of England's first innings, 46, I think. And then Kuldeep Yadav and R. Ashwin did what they threatened to do all tour and turned England inside out.
Perfect. This episode, as ever, is brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. I just want to go through my notes on kind of this episode, and I wrote down...
Why have you got a police constable pad?
I'm a journalist. This is what happens.
No, you've watched journalism on TV. Look, and you bought that notepad.
Okay, I really hope that my auntie from Scotland doesn't listen to this because she bought this for me.
I hope
fine.
She is, auntie. Watch some other TV, yeah?
My five bullet points for today were disappointed, delusional, lost with ball, not with bat, Ollie terror day, terrible day if you're an Ollie Robinson or Pope, and Johnny, what are you doing? Oh my God, Johnny, what's just happened, basically.
Where do you want to start?
I think the top line says that England lost with the bat. It was a collapse of 7 for 35, but I'm not convinced that's the case. My personal opinion is that this test match for England was lost with the ball, and I feel like I'm already brushing over the fact that India were amazing today. They played the perfect day, and I want to get that on record before moving on to the fact that... What have England done wrong? England had a very bad day, but what have they done wrong?
So it was interesting because there was a moment in the press box where I was sat next to Stephen Schemmel of the BBC and you were sat down next to me eating fish fingers at 10 a.m. in the morning. And yeah, something about it didn't seem right. And I think I asked, like, what is it England should be doing now that they're not? Because it doesn't feel right and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And you kind of have to fall back on the cliche at this point and just say intensity. Something about it wasn't their usual self. They didn't let Dhruv Jarrell bat because the way he went about his business was pretty remarkable, really, and was actually something that Joe Root posited the night before, because Joe Root, who'd spent time with him at Rajasthan Royals, he actually said that it's interesting seeing him in this setting because he doesn't really know all that much about his Red Bull career. Yeah. He didn't even really know that much about his wicketkeeping because he didn't do much wicketkeeping at Rajasthan, which is fair enough, you know, at Root's time at Rajasthan. But he did say that, like, he can hit sixes at will, and he did, and that was pretty spectacular. And I think the one thing that, you know, in hindsight that I take away from that is that Shoaib Bashir bowled a lot of overs yesterday, and it was understandable that he didn't necessarily start the day. But there was a moment where I thought Stokes bowled Ollie Robinson for a bit too long, and I think he maybe, with a lot more credit in the bank, he tried to Hartley him, didn't he?
Yeah, I like that.
He tried to keep him involved as long as possible, get him in the game, knowing that he'd need him in the second innings.
I think it's really difficult for Ollie Robinson in that he's had a really bad day in terms of his career. Like,
since he stopped batting, he's had a bad 36 hours or so.
Absolutely, and it's really unfair for him in the case that you can then summarise England's kind of demise and track their trajectory of this test match through his own performance. You can go, right, he saved the day for England with his test best of 58. He then spoke on the morning after when he started on about 30 or whatever, not out, and all the momentum seemed to be going towards like an Ollie Robinson test match, thinking back to Multan last year, he's clean bowling Babar Azam and the rest of it. And actually, in terms of today, where everything's turned, he's dropped a catch, which
was a pretty bad drop, truth be told. The ball before has flown just over his head. It was the same chance that happened the ball afterwards.
It's a drop that I think it classifies as a bad drop in Test cricket. And then when people in the press box talk about it, which is basically everyone apart from Matthews who hasn't played cricket at that level, there is empathy. Where it's like, good, I'm glad I wasn't the one there. And it's like, well, no, that's why you're in here. And he's the one out there, so he should take that. Yeah. It's interesting because he's someone who has been quite open about the fact that he needs games to get in. So, like, you know, he had a pretty disappointing Ashes, despite the fact that he ended up averaging 28. You know, he did have a disappointing Ashes, and he admits as much himself. He had an injury coming into that, which obviously all bowlers have injuries, but it meant he couldn't play the Ireland game, and he wanted to play the Ireland game just to get that run up into the series. So the fact that he's been sat doing nothing really, apart from literally this, like recording a podcast and, you know, training very hard. You know, he's been training well in the nets, certainly when we've seen him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing nothing for like close to 5 weeks now, so... I mean, but they've still picked him. He's still an England test bowler. He's quite, you know, he's got one of those bumper central contracts, albeit only for a year. So, yeah, there is, you know, maybe we're meeting him more than halfway. Probably a lot of people watching think we're meeting more than halfway. Because I actually think when you look what India did with the bat, you know, we talked about Jarrell. Kuldeep Yadav has had a remarkable series with the bat because he's come in as night watch a few times and he's... People say they miss, you know, Pujara. Why isn't Pujara playing? He is, mate. He's just left-handed now. And he's coming in at the end of the day, and he's going to be there until lunchtime the next day. I've been genuinely really impressed with him. Given that we cover a team, you and I primarily cover a team that bats at four, I've been infatuated with the guy who's just dead-batting everything.
I think it's one of those things where with this series, you can boil it down to a really simplistic take of comparing player to player. And I know this is an unfair way of looking about it in terms of Ben Folkes, but if you were to compare the two innings of today, India were 7-8 down, Jiv Jarrell started putting balls out of the stadium, basically, and the innings was moving along, and the runs that were being scored were changing the complexion of the game. The only blueprint that existed for an Indian victory this time yesterday was Kuldeep dead bats it, Jarrell gets some runs,
yep.
Jadeja and Ashwin and Kuldeep then run through England, and Rohit and Jaiswal get the jump on them before for a difficult chase. Every single thing of that happened. And
it's important to say, every single thing of that happened through no kind of charity from England all the
time. Absolutely not, no.
They just nailed it.
They absolutely nailed it.
Obviously, there are a few full tosses at the end there from Hartley, which allowed Rohit to kind of skip down and get through the leg side. But actually, India had these things that they needed, and they took them. They weren't given them.
And I think that's really important to focus on because, look, one of our colleagues used the line, which is very selfish, but I've feel it in, as well, in that this test series was one day away from like being a historic one, where we would have been lucky enough to be on the ground for a sporting event that you'd look back on in 30, 40 years and go, regardless whether India or England won, it would have been 3-2 in a 5-test series, and it would have been amazing.
In the foothills of the Himalayas.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Picturesque. It's romantic and literal and everything.
It's literally the reason I bought this. Exactly. Not for air conditioning, for 10 degrees centigrade, by the way, which is what it's going to be in that week, you know, throughout that week.
Yeah, everyone's feeling very sorry for us. Yeah. But then you then put it in the context of when India were bowling at England and it was Ashwin was 5 for 50 and called it with 4 for 20. You actually pulled me up on this, and because I was getting frustrated, I was getting angry, and you're like, why are you angry at England at the moment? And I went, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing wrong. You cannot blame Zach Crawley for getting out to the ball that Kuldeep Yadav bowled at him. You cannot blame Ben Stokes for doing the same. It was high-class bowling throughout, and just the kind of the difference in the optics of two spinners opening the bowling for India against England when it's Ashwin and Jadeja versus the end of the day when it's Joe Root and Tom Hartley. You go, oh.
I mean, that's a great, yeah. That is the fair comparison. You were talking about the unfair comparison
sure.
before.
I was going to get
that is, bit, yeah. So, all right.
Well, I've done it now.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, to go back to the Ashwin's starting the spell, the moment where the match kind of changed the feel, where it stopped being a case of, oh, if this match runs on autopilot, then England win, to Ashwin, ball in hand, gets a Ben Duckett, bat pad, and then first ball, slams Ollie Pope on the pads. And
the carrom board as well.
It was remarkable. It was one of my favourite thing was, it was umpire's call, and we'll get to fucking umpire's call, don't get me wrong. We're going to have to do it. I'm really sorry, mate.
Right, go on.
But it was the most out umpire's call I've ever seen. It was a really slow death from the umpire, but Ollie Pope stayed there. He didn't run. He was getting called through from Zach Crawley at the other end, and Pope was going, mate, I'm fucking out, mate.
I think there's also a bit of, what the fuck's happened there? You know, I can't remember who wrote this, but there was essentially about, you know, fight or flight happens in very different ways, okay. And often it happens because of fear. Yeah. But in embarrassment, you just stay where you are, and you're like, what has happened in my life right now? At this juncture of my life, what has happened and why has this happened? And that was Ollie Pope. Because I think it's the first time Ashwin's bowled the carrom ball this series. Because there was talk a couple of tests ago that because he'd tweaked his action a little bit, that he just stopped bowling it because he didn't have the same amount of control on it, with it. And then people in the first inning were saying, like, oh, he's gone back to his natural action there. So then when he hits him with the carrom ball first ball, we can extrapolate that through so much because Ashwin's talked about it so much, but you only do that to someone first ball when you know you've got it on a string.
It's remarkable. I remember an anecdote a friend of mine tells me who's a good, very good club cricketer, and he used to netball.
You know
England.
A lot of those, don't you? Jesus.
I don't. That's the problem. I'm very bad. But you'll enjoy this. It's fine. So he was netballing with England. He's an off spinner, and he was talking about how like amazing it was to bowl with Moeen Ali. And he bowls or chucks a doosra. He calls it the goose row because he's called Gus. Very funny. And he bowled it in the nets, and Moeen Ali went, I've actually got one of those, but it's not ready. And Gus was like, oh, mate, like, can I see it kind of thing. Moeen ran up, bowled it, like, pitched middle of the leg, hit the top of off. And Gus was like, I think it's ready. I think it's a really good delivery.
So did he say it's not ready because it required a kink in his arm?
I think you were saying it wasn't ready because to the standards that these guys hold them to, which is what I was thinking when you said Ashwin was like, I'm going to bring it out now. I think it was always ready by the context of the world, but just in the kind of elite level. And then actually, England kind of got back and ahead of the game. Joe Root and Zach Crawley batted very well, Crawley in particular. But
Crawley throughout this series, at various points throughout the series, has looked like KP. I'm going to say it.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Like, think of a private school educated KP. Like, without, but I mean that
KP was privately educated
over here, over in the UK in a proper country. I don't mean that. Got to be aware of the international audience. That
we've
was
got to
a
do
joke.
A social clip later.
But the, but I mean that in terms of like, you know, when KP would dance down and hit over cover.
Yeah.
You could see all the effort he put into it. Obviously, like stylistically, it was beautiful, but there was like effort. You could almost like feel his bottom hand coming through and uppercutting you in the face when he was doing it if you were a bowler. But with Crawley, there's a bit of like, oh, this is like a natural, everything is natural for me here. Like nothing is effort. I've never, you know, I don't know of this thing you call toil in those moments. And he batted brilliantly. And people might complain that he only scored 60, but fuck, watch that innings again. And that's, I mean, it was a genuinely remarkable knock that understandably will be lost beyond this chat.
It's also completely like, it's so unfair on Crawley's behalf, both in this match and across the series, where you go, 60 or 70, you need to turn that into 140. It's like, probably not really. We're talking about a context of a match where we're going to finish and go 240 probably would have been enough to defend, or might be enough to defend. He has performed fabulously well on a wicket where the whole context is there's a ball with your name on it. And I think that was the difficulty of where I was struggling to convince myself of the potential of an England victory. And look, we might be both looking very stupid this time tomorrow if England pull off a miracle. But where I was finding it difficult was from 110 for 3, England lose 7 for 35. They're all out for 145. And then 10 minutes later, they're going, 190 is probably going to be enough to defend. You're like, you guys were 110 for 3 45 minutes ago.
But like, so what we've seen from the game so far is that when the ball gets softer, the spinners are better. Yeah, certainly when England were batting against the best spinners in the world, that's how it played out, because variable bounce becomes that little bit more unpredictable because you're relying on the ball landing on the seam than you are just landing like a hard ball landing on its side, for example. And so you're in a situation when that collapse happens where it's like, right, the ball is a bit older, and you're all new batters, and you know, you go further down the order, you're going to get some rubbish ones in there as well, aren't you? So there was an inevitability to it. There's a reason it's a pattern that often happens in this part of the world. And there's also a reason why these guys are some of the best in the world, because there wasn't a full toss, there wasn't anything to latch onto, everything was just metronomic. I thought Ravi Jadeja bowled well, he took one wicket. Clown.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Moron. Akash Deep playing a very vital role.
Oh my
seamer.
God, yeah, yeah.
He literally looked like the best bowler in the world three days ago. And they were like, we don't need you, mate. Very quickly, just a note on Johnny Bairstow. Obviously, his 99th test match. He was looking good.
He was looking
like he was kind of potentially going to play the innings that was going to... He was going to play the innings of this innings that Joe Root played a day and a half ago.
Yeah.
Where it kind of silences any doubters. But as it's happened, the nature of his dismissal, caught at that short point where someone's wearing a helmet, I swear to God, I've never seen that position work in my life. I've always been like...
It was further than that, though, wasn't it? I thought it was more regulation backward point.
But the bloke was wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
It was so confusing. You're like, where's the ball gone? You see him pop up with a lad with a helmet. You're like, where's the hitting?
You know when Sarfraz took that catch of Tom Hartley? Like, he was like three quarters long on.
Yeah.
I was upset that he wasn't wearing a helmet then. He wears a helmet everywhere. He probably wears it to sleep. He's probably wearing it to sleep right now.
So with the dismissal, I mean this genuinely. The Bairstow dismissal, it means genuinely the greatest respect. I know that this is a dressing room where if you get a reverse sweeping or scooping or whatever, or trying to go over, hit the ball for six, there's no judgment there. There are dismissals that exist in cricket where you kind of look at your teammate and you go like, what has happened there? Like, you were in, we was like relying on you, and it felt like one of those dismissals where a player with so much credit in the bank, where already there's kind of going to be the debate of Harry Brooks coming back, Dan Lawrence is waiting in the wings. It felt for me like it was a moment where Bairstow fell below the kind of 30 rule, which is if you maintain a kind of mediocre level, you keep your space in the team, and you're that's good enough to... I've wondered whether now Bairstow's in a position where he has to kind of come back, whether there's a chance that in going into the summer, Bairstow's now having to prove something again, where previously, as of two test matches ago, that wouldn't have even been the case because he's Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah, I don't really know where I fall with that, to be honest, because as you said, he batted well, he drove Ashwin down the ground, maybe called him actually, yeah.
And in the first innings, he put two drives together. There was one drive together which was like a no-foot movement, kind of proper like hammer blow through the covers, and it focused on his face afterwards, and I was like, we're in here, we're about to see something amazing. Yeah. And it felt like we were on the cusp of seeing like a Johnny Bairstow special kind of throughout this test match, and it just hasn't quite happened. And the nature of the beast has been that his dismissal then has attracted attention like this, basically.
Yeah, so I think with that particular dismissal, the ball after tea as well, which made it all the more worse, because you had 15 minutes of, well, how long was it? 20 minutes of thinking, well, you never know. No, you know now.
Yeah.
It was like he was playing, he got caught in two shots, didn't he? To like hit it through the covers or just defend it, and he ended up working the wrong way around. You know, you can switch from one to the other, you can't switch from it was grim. And unfortunately, regardless of what people have said and written about Joe Root's ramp shot, given this situation, that's one of the worst shots I've seen. That's comfortably the worst shot of the tour.
Oh God,
I know. Yeah. and it's sad. And what I will say is, you know, we haven't even spoken about the Ben Folkes Bashir partnership, which was fascinating, by the way. But might also be something that helps Johnny Bairstow going forward, genuinely.
You are correct in that. I wonder whether Ben Folkes' future, and this is, we're going to dive into another 10 minutes here, which we'll have to move on quickly, but I wonder if Ben Stokes' future in the England Test team, at home at least, actually exists batting higher. And that's why I was wondering whether, in the case of that innings, where he's not actually helped himself in terms of what's happened there, is the reason why, going back to England, they'll go, right, Brook 5, Bairstow 7, we don't need someone who's as good a keeper, we want the best batters possible. And Ben Folkes, bear in mind, this is the same player who 2 days ago we were like, what a wonderful partnership with Joe Root, has saved England the game. But anyway, conversation for the weekly show. We're going to move on to the Final Word Hall of Fame. I've got more ad copy for you, for us, for me, and for the viewers.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As ever, this is brought to you...
You're so lucky, viewers.
I know, it's amazing. As ever, it's brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. Day three. Since October 1582, we've been gifted an extra day every 4 years, excepting centenary years, unless that year is also divisible by 400. I reckon they're talking about leap years. I'm going to think about it. And we can thank Pope Gregory the 13th for it. I'd say it's incumbent on us all to make the most of our bonus day and to try something new, something different, or something that scares us. Cricket. So there's a joke about like the Indian playing in India there, but it's fine.
In these conditions.
Yeah. And while you're free to repurpose the words of this ad, if you're trying to pull in a bar on February the 29th, absolutely not.
Is that a thing?
Famously, obviously. The point is to suggest that you take some time on Thursday to donate blood. Wasn't expecting wasn't expecting that tangent. Shane, well done. Goodness me, fuck, I've got to be sensible, man. Sorry. We're talking about an important issue. You can donate blood at Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City, but book yourself in to your local donor. We were literally talking about sex about fucking 30 seconds off earlier on the read. Anyway, it's fine. To your local donation centre, wherever you are in the world, get hooked up and help up to three people's lives with your donation. You never know when you might need donated blood, but more importantly, you never know when someone might need your blood. NHS blood banks are especially keen for people with Black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds to book in as soon as possible. That is available at Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. Wasn't expecting that, Vish.
No, but it is quite important. And there's someone who has actually never given blood. That is,
have you not?
No, that is quite important to hear. So.
I think I've got five. I've got like the bronze card in my wallet.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, you get, they literally give you like reward cards.
Right, your sixth one is free or something.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe. Hall of Fame, I'm actually going to start with the Root DRS saga. DRS has dominated the conversation of the last week of this test series through no scientific backing and evidence at all. Today, Joe Root was given out LBW, and because people thought, I appreciate some things have nuance, in my mind, and I'm happy for you to correct me, this did not. The ball pitched in line. This is what the technology does. It is the same technology that is used in Grand Slams across the world to call things in and out live when a tennis ball changes to the elliptical shape. It fucking bounced in line. It's fine. It was out. And you know what made me really sad? It's when I saw Sam Billings sharing it on Twitter and being like, it might be out. And you know what I thought of? I thought of the scene in Shaun of the Dead when he realised his mum had got bitten. It was like, not you as well. Not you as well, yeah. Sam. It's fine.
I mean, it's important to also state that, you know, your example of tennis is good because it doesn't make, because cricket ball doesn't make the elliptical shape. So exactly. the point of contact is consistent throughout.
It's a remarkable
scenario. And the rules are pretty clear in terms of, like, you know, the point in the middle of the ball and...
It's
you know, you said it to... Sorry, I've interrupted you twice here in the space of a few seconds, but I get... You described it as a conversation that's been had for a while, and I, you know, recently a lot of people talking about it. But the way I see it really is, it's getting on a bus and someone's playing music off their phone out loud at the back of the bus, and you just move a couple of seats forward, so you hear a bit less of it. So that's basically how I've been positioning myself.
Just handing it off to someone else.
Not even handing it off to someone else. I just think it comes from like actually quite an honest place in terms of players being annoyed at things that they see and things they perceive in a situation where we ask them about it after it's had an effect on a thing that they've bust their gut for. I totally understand the emotion behind it, but I have less truck with the conversation being had by people who have the benefit of time and distance from
it. Okay.
But the Root thing was interesting because live I wasn't sure. The umpire wasn't sure. and then technology came in and showed that it was out.
Which is literally the point of why it's existing. And there's two things here. There's one thing to doubt the predictive elements of the technology, where it's hit someone's pad and it's like, where might the ball have gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's umpire's call. We have a margin of error. That's why we're sticking with the decision. The idea of like just the actual tracking of where the ball landed, bizarre. And also kind of the furore around it in a test match where England have been the beneficiaries of marginal calls throughout. Found it bizarre, found it strange, found it irritating.
The other thing we should say about it is, like, because it's the nature of sport, when it happens, fans are really annoyed as well. And I don't mind that at all. And I think by and large, like, you know, it's just kind of, it's basically why we're here, because people care about that much. And I totally understand that and I respect that. But it's just, you know, there is no solution for it, because this is the solution. Like, it gets better gradually, but as you said, like, that's as good as it's gonna get. Like, what else do you want?
Yeah, have you got anything for the Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame, probably should have thought about this. I would say I'm gonna put the Folks Bashir partnership in the Hall of Fame, because I thought there was a lot of real good intention behind it, but we ended up in a situation where two players were constantly having to face their own mortality in terms of Folks not feeling comfortable to clear the ropes, because he can do it, he just didn't feel comfortable doing it, and Bashir being entrusted to do two balls and actually looking all right, and then having to remind yourself that it was two, and the regularity of it as well. I think for the first seven overs of their 10 over stint, where they were, you know, scoring one run and over, it was Folks would take a single off the fourth ball, then he took a single off the fifth ball, and then he took a single off the sixth ball, because the fifth ball of that over was a DRS review for LBW when Ashwin had moved the fielder over
to
get him to play the reverse sweep, and he played it and luckily got away with it through, I think, an under edge maybe, or like wasn't hitting either way. And then they went back to the fifth ball the next over, and it was weirdly beautiful in a way, but I kind of never want to see it again.
It was. I really enjoyed. I was trying to work out whether Folks playing the reverse sweep in that instance was falling into a trap or not, because I think both parties wanted that. Ashwin wanted Folks to play the reverse sweep, and wanted to play the reverse sweep.
It was absolutely the right thing to do, because it was the quickest way of getting that many runs.
Yeah.
Wait four overs or get them now. Like, that was a decision, and I think he made the right one.
And a point to finish on, just as a tee up for the potential miracle of tomorrow. Ben Stokes, back with ball in hand, 4-for-5-for-6-for-7-er, winning in the match, taking to decider and Dharmashala rather than dead rubber and Dharmashala. That's probably not going to happen. India has probably sealed a series. We'll be back tomorrow with more Final Word Daily. As ever, brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. Make sure to donate blood. Make sure to check in with Vish. Make sure to check in with me. I don't fucking know what's going on anymore. Let's finish it. Hey, the series is over. Maybe, possibly, probably. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. I had to go.